shirt off, right? The coach, he's the one that gets me. But he doesn't let him play in any of the reindeer games. Rudolph was rejected, wasn't he? He was rejected, and many of us as little kids watching that, or maybe as adults watching that, I don't know if you saw the commercials, it's the 50th anniversary of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and many of us, we commiserate with Rudolph because we've felt rejection in some way, shape, or form in our life. Maybe it was when you were a kid, a friend left you flat, he took off on you, and you didn't have anybody to play with. Maybe when you were a teenager, your boyfriend or girlfriend dumped you and you were rejected. Maybe just last week, a bunch of your friends went out and did something and then they posted on Facebook or Instagram a picture of all of them and it said, all my besties, and you're on the other side of the computer and weren't even invited. But maybe it was more severe than that. Maybe you can't find or hold down a job. Maybe you keep on getting let go. Maybe you can't find a spouse. Maybe a parent abandoned you. Maybe your adult child does not keep in touch with you or has turned their back on you. Maybe your spouse is or was unfaithful at some point. We all know the feeling of rejection, and it's really no surprise that rejection actually hurts. Rejection hurts. Some of you remember back to your school days learning about the American psychologist Abraham Maslow. Remember that? Maslow was famous for his hierarchy of needs. You might not be able to see all the text on there, but Maslow's hierarchy of needs starts off at the bottom there. It's every human has these needs is what Abraham Maslow was saying. Now, this isn't gospel truth, but this is man's findings of observing human beings. But he found that each person has physiological needs, which is food, water, shelter, warmth. We all need that to survive. But then he found that all humans have safety needs, security, stability, freedom. We all need to feel free, and we need security and stability. Then he goes up the pyramid, and the next one is that need for belonging, friends, companionship, family, spouse. We need to feel accepted by other people. And then he goes on to the next is the need for self-esteem, achievement, mastery, recognition, respect. We need to feel good about ourselves. And then he goes on, if all these needs are being met, we find a self-actualized human. That's what he would say. And we would pursue our inner talent and creativity. We'd be able to flourish in life. And what Maslow stated was that if we get stuck in one of these layers, on this hierarchy of needs, we're not going to move on. We'll never be self-actualized. We'll never be able to fulfill our purposes. So for instance, if you're hungry and don't have any food and don't have a home, you're not thinking, you know what I really need? I need a wife. You don't think that. You think I need food, I need shelter, I need to protect myself. So he's saying if that need is not being met, all of a sudden now you're stuck. So then we look at something like rejection, this need for belonging. Rejection's difficult because it really affects our sense of belonging, but then it affects who we are, right? It would affect our self-esteem. So if I see somebody that has very low self-esteem, I have to track back to the need before that, which is the need to belong. And a lot of times when somebody has low self-esteem, it's because they faced a lot of rejection in their life. So they feel like they're not worth very much. So today what we're going to do is we're going to learn how to deal with rejection the way Jesus wants us to, and then we're going to learn how to accept other people for the glory of Jesus. So we don't want to be rejected, so we should not reject others. So that's kind of what we're going to learn today. So the first thing we're going to look at is dealing with rejection. Dealing with rejection. As a person, if we're rejected, we have to deal with it. We have to figure out a few things. And the first thing we have to do is we have to figure out why we are being rejected. To our story, Rudolph, why was he being rejected? The way he looked, he had this big bulbous red nose that no other reindeer had, and it made him an outcast. But what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves a question. First of all, if we need to figure out why we're being rejected, we should ask, is it something I can change or something I should change? Is it something I can change or something I should change? Now, in this world of political correctness, we don't want to be deceived into thinking that we should be accepted no matter what. Okay, let me just say that again. In the world of political correctness, we don't want to be deceived into thinking we should be accepted no matter what. And here's what I mean by that. You might have a behavior, an attitude, or an action that is very sinful, and because of that, other people are rejecting you. You get that? So you might have a behavior, an attitude, or an action that's very sinful, and because of your actions, people are rejecting you. So you might, for instance, have outbursts of anger. And because you have outbursts of anger, nobody wants to be around you. They walk on eggshells. They reject you because, you know what, I'm afraid. You're like a time bomb. And if I say this or do this, you might blow up. You might gossip about other people. You might constantly talk about other people. And eventually, people don't want to be around you. They reject you because they're like, you know what, every time I'm with that person, they're always talking about someone else. You might have vulgar language. Maybe the things that come out of your mouth just make people not want to be around you. That person just says disgusting things. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be around that. Maybe you're a very violent person. Maybe you're a very violent person. Maybe the way that you treat other people with your words and actions are very violent. Maybe you have substance abuse issues. Maybe a sin in your life is being addicted to something and people don't want to be around you. You've severed every relationship because of those issues. Maybe you're a two-faced backstabber. Maybe you just say things and do things that just stab your friends and your family members in the back. Maybe you're self-righteous. Maybe you think like, you know what? I'm everything. You know, I don't make any mistakes. I'm perfect. Maybe you're full of pride and you're self-righteous. Maybe you're very overbearing on other people. Maybe you're a parent, you're just very overbearing on your children. And you know what? When they kind of fly the coop at 18 or 19 or 20 years old, you don't hear from them much because maybe your attitude towards them was just very overbearing. Maybe you're a bad spouse or a bad parent. Do you know that that does not only affect just your spouse and your children? Actually, there's going to be people around you that don't want to be around you because you're a bad spouse or a bad parent. Other people that are married are like, I don't want to hang out with that person because they're a bad example. Or other people who have children are like, I don't want to hang out with that person because, you know what, they don't enjoy their children. They don't really foster a good relationship with their child. So what we need to do is we need to look at some of the attitudes and the actions in our lives and say, you know what? Am I being rejected because of those things? And is it something that needs to change? And I would suggest that if it's a sin, it does need to change. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 is found on page 527 in the Church Bible, verses 29 through 31. It says this, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. So what this passage is saying is, listen, if you act in ways that are not godly, if you don't take God's counsel and change your ways, the fruit of what you're going to receive is actually going to be rejection of others. People are not going to want to be around you. They're not going to like you. So the first thing we need to do is we need to ask ourselves, is there something that I'm being rejected based upon that I need to and should change? But I want to tell you this, the goal is not them accepting you. The goal is you being acceptable to the Lord. The Lord looking at you and saying, okay, there's my kid, and he's actually, or she's actually listening. See, when we have sinful and unhelpful tendencies in life, other people are going to stray away from us. But when we look to correct those things in view of the Lord, other people will be more drawn to us. And if we persist in those things, the consequences are that we're going to be very rejected by other people. The second thing, as far as dealing with rejection, that we want to do is take a look at who is rejecting you. You know what? You might be rejected by people in this world that, in all honesty, it doesn't matter. Okay? Yeah, I said that. You might be rejected by some people that, in all honesty, it does not matter. They may be very immature people. They might be rejecting you because of how you look, like they were rejecting Rudolph. They might be rejecting you because what you don't have or what you haven't achieved in life. They might just be very immature people. So we have to look and say, you know what? Who is rejecting me? Where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Who is this coming from? They might reject you because you don't participate in a certain sin. You're not willing to sin like they are. Some of you here that are younger people, you know this in school, right? In school, a lot of times the cool kids are doing everything wrong. And if you're not accepted by the cool kids, you might go home to your parents and you might be really upset that you're not accepted by the cool kids. And your parents are thinking, yes, I'm glad they're not accepted by that group because that means they're probably not doing the wrong thing. Remember what 1 Corinthians 15:33 says? It says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals or corrupts good character. Some of you might remember. The thing is, we have to take a look and say, you know what? Is there somebody rejecting me that, you know, is hurtful, they're unhelpful, they're very self-centered, they're very immature? Are they rejecting me? And then, you know, then you have to say, well, I got to look where this is coming from. I'm not going to use that and say, oh, I got to be a different person because they're rejecting me. Lance Armstrong, many of you remember, you know that name, and he said this. He said, a boo is a lot louder than a cheer. A boo is a lot louder than a cheer. So I want you to ask yourself, who's booing you, okay? Who's booing you? Who's rejecting you? But you know what? Just as a human, we all know this. The realization comes to us that no matter who's booing us, no matter who rejects us, it hurts, right? It hurts. None of us want to be rejected, really, by anybody. None of us want that feeling of rejection. We don't want to be put off by other people. So the way that we deal with that is Jesus knows how we feel when we're rejected. See, Jesus knows how you and I feel when we're rejected, and here's why. Because Jesus was rejected. Jesus was rejected. In John 1:11, it actually says this, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So now, the God of this universe came to his own people, the very people that he created, and they didn't receive him. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah said this about him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So now he's describing Jesus, what he came to. He was a man of sorrows. He was rejected. And then 1 Peter 2:4 actually tells us he was rejected by men. See, we understand that we have a God that knows what rejection feels like. The interesting thing about Jesus is he knows what rejection feels like, but you know what? His rejection wasn't on behalf of himself. It was on behalf of us. See, Jesus was rejected on behalf of us. Well, what does that really mean? Well, that means this. We, being sinners, needed a Savior. When Jesus came to this earth, he died on the cross to pay the price for us sinners. The Bible says this. Jesus rose again 3 days later to prove that he was God. The Bible also says that all who receive Jesus, all who accept him, all who believe in him, all who trust him, will have eternal life. So see, Jesus was rejected and killed on the cross on our behalf. And when we accept him, and when we trust in him, he accepts us into eternal life. So whatever rejection you're dealing with, the bottom line is you have to realize Jesus knows how you feel because he went through even worse rejection than you ever did. And it was for you. He cares about you more than you can ever imagine. But know this, Jesus does not reject you. That's our last point in dealing with rejection. Jesus does not reject you. Because now you might be saying, okay, Pastor Mike, that's great. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. Jesus knows how I feel. He's Jesus. Of course, he knows how I feel. Well, here's what I want to tell you. Whatever rejection you're facing right now, whether it's from a spouse, a child, a friend, work, life, whatever it is, Jesus does not reject you. He does not reject you. So he's there for you. He's the one to run to. 1 Peter 5:7 actually says this, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. You know what? You might be going through something very difficult right now in life, and you might feel like there's nobody to listen to me. No one cares what I have to say. No one cares about my pain. No one cares about me. Well, Jesus does. I would venture to say that there probably are other people in this world that do, and you're just not seeing it right now, but I know this truth, that Jesus does. So cast your cares on him. He cares for you. Psalm 34:17-20 actually says this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. If you're feeling rejected right now by someone, know this, the Lord is close. Just look to him. He's right there. If you're brokenhearted, you're the one he wants to show up to. Isaiah 49:15 and Psalm 27:10 actually tell us this. It says, even a mother or father can forget their child, but the Lord does not. Can you believe that? Some of you mothers and fathers are like, yeah, right. I can never forget my kid. Well, guess what? There's mothers and fathers out there that do. They're not supposed to, but they do. But the Lord does not. The Lord does not. He does not forget us. Well, you know what? Maybe for you, it's not rejection. You're not dealing with rejection. You're like, okay, this is a good, nice thing for like those people that are down and out and feeling rejected. Not me. I'm not feeling rejection right now. Well, here's what I want to teach you now is how to accept other people. Because now, this is an interesting time of year, isn't it? Okay, between now and, you know, the new year, you're going to see a ton of people that you know. You're going to be invited to parties, or maybe if you're rejected, you're not going to be. You can come to our party. So you're going to see a lot of people. You're going to see a lot of people. You're going to be around a lot of people. You're going to be around people that are going to be hard to accept. So we as Christians want to learn how to accept other people. So the first thing we want to do is we want to realize the worth of other people. We want to realize the worth of other people. See, we tend to reject people because of what they do, maybe because of how they look, maybe because of what they say, or maybe for what they can't do for us. We reject them. See, we have to realize that God made each person. And you know what? When we look at a person and we reject them, actually we're looking at God and saying, God, you made a mistake with that person. You made a mistake with that person, and I'm going to cast them off. You know, some people have a keen sense of compassion in them that sees the worth of each person. And I have to say, my son Tosh, he's 11 years old, he's in sixth grade. He has this. He really just has a keen sense about him to look at another human being and accept them. And every year when we go to parent-teacher conferences, it seems like the teachers always have like this like heartwarming story for me. And I wind up like filling up and not wanting to cry in front of the teacher. But this year was no different. This year was no different. A little boy came into his class. And the teacher actually said, and teachers know this stuff, she actually said, by the looks of this boy, I thought that he might have a hard time fitting in. You know, by the way he dressed, by the way he acts, stuff. And she goes, your son, Tosh, went right up to him and befriended him. I was like, that's my boy. And so, you know, and Tosh would come home and tell us about this boy and stuff. Well, until one day, here's what happened. The boy got transferred from Tosh's class to another class because he was misplaced in that class and he needed some extra help, as the teacher said. So she said, you know what your son said when I went up to him? Well, he was asking me, like, why is he out? She said, well, he needs extra help. She goes, your son said, well, I can give him extra help. And I was just like, yeah, literally, I'm almost crying, like, listening to this. But it just showed me that he realizes the worth of another person. Regardless of how they look, regardless of what other people are going to say, regardless of how they talk or whatever it is. I want you to turn to Matthew 10. Because it helps us to understand this, the worth of a person, even better. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. It's on page 815 in the Church Bible. Matthew 10, verse 29 says this. Jesus talking, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." So now Jesus is actually saying this about people. He's saying, okay, not a bird dies without me knowing it. And they're not worth much. You know, in the grand scheme of things, they're not worth much financially. He says, aren't you worth so much more than that? Every hair on your head is numbered. You're worth more than many sparrows, Jesus says. So here's what Jesus says to us as a word of encouragement. You're worth it. So we as Christians need to say, other people are worth it. Other people are worth it. We have to realize that each person that walks the face of the earth has dignity, value, and worth. And as Christians, we have to realize that they have gifts and talents and abilities, and they make up the body of Christ. All the Christians do, but the rest of the people make up this world. So as Christians, we have to look at this world and say, you know what? The other people around me are worth something. The other people around me are worth something. My family and friends that I'm going to see that, you know, maybe I didn't see all year, that maybe say things that are hurtful, they are worth something. They're worth something. So we have to realize the worth of each person. The second thing is this. We do not repay evil for evil. If we're going to accept other people, we can't repay evil for evil. Do you remember when Rudolph was finally accepted? Anybody remember? When was he finally accepted? When Santa came to his senses, right? And it was a foggy night, and he's like, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight, right? What if we did a little alter ending to that? Could we make some money on this? Maybe we can make the, you know, Christmas specials that have gone awry. And Rudolph was like, listen, Jelly Belly, I'm not going to do this, okay? You guys rejected me. You're going to suffer in the fog. Ha, ha, ha. I would like to see. No, okay. Rudolph could have been jaded, right? He could have been very jaded. He could have repaid that evil for evil. He could have been like, listen, you and your reindeer friends and that coach too, because he really grates on my nerves, you guys can suffer. He could have done that. Do we do that sometimes? Do we do that? We repay evil for evil. 1 Peter 3:9 says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you might obtain blessings. You know, there might be somebody out there this Christmas that has hurt you. And you know what? You might even be thinking, if she or he comes into my house and says this or that, here's what I'm going to say. You know, you might be planning the comeback. You might just be thinking like, you know, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm going to repay evil for evil. Well, God says, no, don't. Don't repay evil for evil. Bless. And you know what? Some people might say, okay, you know what? And if you're really nice, they're going to change. And they're going to be really nice back. And it's going to be great. And you're all going to sing Christmas carols around the tree this year. Some people might say that. And that might very well happen. But it's likely that it might not. This year, at least. But you know what the blessing you'll receive is? When you don't repay evil for evil, the blessing that the scriptures talk about that you'll receive is knowing that you did what God wanted you to do. Regardless how they treat you, you did what your Father in heaven wanted you to do. And that's blessing enough. That's blessing enough. The third thing that we learn about how to accept other people is put your desires second. I want you to turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 15. It's on page 949 in the Church Bible. Romans 15, 949 in the Church Bible. Paul is talking to the believers about putting their own desire second. Here's what he says. We who are strong have an obligation to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. So now what he's saying is to the believers, he's saying this, listen, you are strong, you who know better, you who know the scripture, here's what you need to do. You need to take second seat and put your desires second and put the desires of other people before you, therefore accepting them. Then he says, at the end of the thing, he says, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Because Christ put your desires and my desires before his desires. Do you think that Jesus wanted to suffer and be rejected? Do you think that Jesus wanted to be spit at and mocked and have a crown of thorns put on his head and beat into his head? I don't think he wanted to, but he put our desires first. We needed to be saved, so Jesus did what we needed him to do. So now, as Christians, to accept other people, we have to say, you know what? Even though I don't feel like it, even though I'm not feeling it this year, or even though I don't want to do this, we're putting the desire of another person before us. And every person has that belonging desire, don't they? Every person wants to feel accepted. The fourth thing on how to accept others is this. We need to ask Jesus for help. Let's be realistic. There are some people in this world and in our lives that it might take subhuman superpowers to accept them, right? It might take something that you are just thinking to yourself, I do not have in me. And I'm just going to tell you this morning. You don't have it in you. Okay? You don't have it in you, and that's why you need Jesus. So you need to ask Jesus for help. And guess what? I believe when you ask Jesus for help, he will help you, especially in this area, and here's why. Because he desires the people around you to accept him. So he's placed you in their life, whether it be family, friends, coworkers, school, wherever it is. He placed you there for a very specific reason in order that they might believe. 1 John 5:14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Do you know what God's will is for you? I believe it is to accept other people. I believe that Jesus wants you to accept other people. So now we have to ask Jesus for help, right? We have to say, you know what, Jesus, I need your help in this. I can't do it alone, okay? I'm having a household of people, and you know, half of them are going to complain about every little thing. I need your help, Jesus, because I'm going to go ballistic if I don't get it, okay? Maybe you're going to work and, you know, people are just saying nasty things or whatever it is. Maybe there's the party that you didn't get included on. Whatever it is, you need to ask Jesus, Jesus, help me to deal with this. Help me to fully accept other people for who you made them to be. But then finally, as a Christian, here's what we really need to do. We need to be a light. Matthew 5:16, some of you know this. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So here's what we do as Christians. We reach out in acceptance towards other people so that they see our good works, not to give us glory, not to pat us on the back, not to make us look like great, awesome people, but so that the Father in heaven gets glory. Jesus said, be a light to other people. So you know what? At this time of year, we drive around, right? And what do we see all over all houses, right? We see lights. Well, it's a reminder that Jesus is the light that came into the dark world, but we are the light that illuminates the dark world. And we as Christians, if we're not accepting other people, if we're not lending that hand of acceptance out towards them, who will? Who will? We need to, because we have the message of life that God has entrusted with us in his word. So remember our little buddy Rudolph, right? Remember him? This quote I found. He let his light shine no matter what others said. As Christians, that's what we need to do. We need to let our light shine no matter what the people around us say. And when we're accepting towards other people, guess what it does? It brightens the darkness they live in. It brightens the darkness they live in. Imagine that. You can be that bright light for someone else. Someone who has been cast off. Someone who has been let down. Someone who has been abandoned. Someone who just feels like everyone has turned their back on them. And now you come into the picture and you brighten up the darkness that they're living in. So this Christmas, my prayer for you and us is that we deal with rejection the way Jesus wants us to, and we learn to accept others for the glory of Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to help us to be accepting towards other people. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to deal with maybe the deep wounds of rejection that we might have felt from the past, whether it be dealt out from friends, family members, coworkers, schoolmates, wherever that rejection has come from, Lord. I pray that we would cling to you and realize that you are a God who does not reject us, but loves us deeply. I pray, Lord, that as we move forward to Christmas and to New Year's and to all those times that we spend with many different people that might grate on our nerves, that might give us a problem, that might reject us, Lord, I pray that we're lights to them and accepting towards them so that your name gets the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. This morning,